In this week on the RV Podcast, we share our top 10 rules for RV couples, how to get along in a motorhome so this doesn't happen.
On a recent trip, Jennifer and I were doing some stuff, and, well, I forgot we were in a motorhome until she said,
"I need a little bit of space with you not in it."
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 300 of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable, a tent, hey, maybe you're just dreaming about getting one someday. Well, this podcast is for you because on this show, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and always using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. And this week, in honor of this being our 300th episode of the RV Podcast, we're going to share our top 10 rules for RV couples who want to get along in the confined space of an RV. It's from a video we did way back in the early days. But the advice is timeless, especially with so many newcomers coming to the RV world. We also have lots of important RV news this week. We've got tips. We've got your RV questions and a fun off-the-beaten-path report from our friends, the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my Michael.
Well, we're back in Michigan. We got back late Friday, just in time for the Father's Day weekend. Almost 6 months on the road. A long time, right?
Oh, it was a lot. It was 4 months, Michael. It seemed like 60.
I guess it was. We left, what, in February?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, well, it's rounded off.
A long time.
To the nearest half dozen.
We were gone a lot in January and February.
Yeah, that's, I think, what...
I think that's where you got the 6 months.
Right, because we were up north camping in our winter camp out. Then we came back. Then we went out to Arizona, and that was a thing. So
we're basically gone.
Yep. Well, I do confess right now, it's nice to be back in our official state of domicile, Michigan, for a few days. That's about it. In fact, we hit the road in about an hour after we finished recording this podcast. We're recording this on Tuesday, and of course, it's being released on Wednesday, the 24th, and that is a big day for us.
A very big day, because we're going to get a new
RV.
Adventure Mobile.
Yes. Now, I think there really is a brand called Adventure Mobile.
I can't call it my Adventure Mobile anymore. Somebody stole my name.
You can call it, my dear, anything you want. But we are actually getting a 2021 Leisure Travel Vans Wonder, which will be our Adventure Mobile, right?
I always call them my Adventure Mobiles.
I don't know. Maybe there isn't a brand, but somebody's going to take one if you keep saying that.
They're well, it's a good name.
It's a really good name. It's better than what you used to call it, which was a tent on wheels. First it was a tin can, then it was a tent on wheels. Now it's an Adventure Mobile.
I realized it was disrespectful to call it a tin can because it's not a tin can. But
No.
If I was mad at it, I think it was a tin can.
Yeah. Well, this, I don't know, this is RV number 6 or 7 for us? I don't know.
Oh, we've had a lot of them.
And we usually keep our RVs about a year and a year and a half. And a big reason for that is so that we can be familiar with all sorts of other RVs. I should point out, we buy our RVs. We've been doing that now. This is our second one that we're buying it. And I don't want to give too many details because if things go as they should, we will be picking it up on the 24th.
Never count your chickens before they hatch.
Right. And this year, any plans are subject to change immediately, aren't they? So, but we're supposed to be in Holland, Michigan at Holland Motorhomes. That's the dealer we use to buy this. And it's a 2021 Leisure Travel Vans Wonder. And I'm really anxious to try out that new Ford Transit chassis for 2020. The chassis is 2020. The van is 2021. That's confusing to a lot of people.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, because people always say, well, I got a 2021. Well, actually, the chassis was made in 2020. And the model of that Leisure Travel Vans, that's a 2021. But So we will be videoing this and we'll be blogging about the big day and our first camping trips and setting it all up and taking it for some of the modifications we want to do. And the first one is we pick it up on the 24th, and on the 25th and 26th, we're just supposed to be in Elkhart, Indiana at Equalizer, which is the automatic leveling system that we had in our Unity, which we have sold. And we want it in the Wonder too. And they're going to put it in for us at their factory headquarters in Elkhart, Indiana. So we're excited about that.
Sounds like a good plan.
We are spoiled with those automatic levelers. They are so nice. So we're so excited we can hardly sleep. That's how excited we are. So anyway, stay tuned. We can't wait to get the keys. We'll tell you all about it and we'll have a series of blog reports. But that's coming up. And I think we're going to, right now, we spent the last 2 days, 3 days really, cleaning out the Unity, which we have sold to a couple of our listeners, of our YouTube followers, actually, from Missouri. They're driving up. They rented a car and are driving up to Holland and will meet us there and pick the Unity up. I get to do a walkthrough like dealers used to do. And I think we're going to do...
You're going to watch a couple Dean videos to get you up to speed?
I know, if I can talk that fast. I think we're going to do a blog post at least, maybe a video on how to sell your own RV, because a lot of people are really interested in that. They are. So we're going to give it a try. So stay tuned. We can't wait to get the keys. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping. And did you see the big announcement yesterday? Rad Power Bikes have released a new model to join their full lineup of different styles of e-bikes. This new one, though, is really getting a lot of attention. It's called the Rad Mission, and it is the slimmest, the lightest, and the cheapest electric bike yet. Narrow tires, a really nice, torquey 500-watt motor, and here's the thing, a sub-$1,000 price point. This makes this a really neat addition to the company's lineup. Rad Power Bikes has all sorts of different e-bike models, from fat tires to mountain bikes to city cruisers to step-through models. They meet literally every rider want or need out there. All of their models, including the new Rad Mission, can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free, with throttle, or using different levels of pedal assist for an added boost. Perfect for people who want to get into riding, maybe recovering from surgery, maybe looking for a little extra boost. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And here's the thing. Rad Power Bikes are priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is eliminated. They deal directly with the consumer. And we can make it even better. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they'll take an additional $75 off, plus free shipping. You check them out and check out that new Rad Mission bike. It's just go to radpowerbikes.com. Radpowerbikes.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Last week, the U.S. Senate passed the Great American Outdoors Act, a bill described as the most far-reaching conservation law in 40 years.
Yay!
That is expected to send millions of dollars from offshore oil drilling to pay for campgrounds, city parks, trails, and more in all 50 states. The bill would provide $9.5 billion over 5 years to repair roads, restrooms, trails, and campgrounds at the national parks. And it would guarantee $900 million a year to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The bill now heads to the House, where quick passage is expected. President Donald Trump has said he will sign it into law. We will be following this, as it looks like great news for America's national parks.
Now, over the years, we've had several stories about the dismal condition of the roads and the infrastructure in our national parks and how maintenance was backlogged. So this really is great news, particularly for RVers and those who love our national park system. I just hope nothing goofs it up. The thing that's so encouraging is this is the first thing we have seen Congress agree on in years.
They better agree on this.
Yeah, they better. Darn right. So we're excited about it. So congratulations to Congress for doing the Great Americans Outdoors Act, and we'll be following that. We'll cover it as we visit national parks and we see evidence of some of the improvements. We'll talk you all about it, let you know. All right, other news this week. Campers hoping to head to Canada. We had a big story on this last week. Heading to Canada or Mexico, we learned last week that you're going to have to wait another month because the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and Canadian and Mexican officials extended the border closures to July 21st because of COVID-19. Borders are closed to non-essential travel, which is what camping is considered. And they've been closed now for months. The order was supposed to lift in June, but they extended it last week as both Canada and Mexico and joining the U.S. decided it's a bad, good way to spread the limit of the virus. And we wrote about how seriously Canadians are taking it in last week's podcast. We reported that. And we urge you to follow the law, knowing one day that the borders will open. But this is taken very seriously. Just yesterday, fellow traveler Rick Ills sent us a link to a big story the Canadian television network did explaining how angry Canadians are when they spot license plates from U.S. At Canadian national parks, particularly at Banff, where somebody would drive in with a U.S. plate from one of the states in the U.S., and Canadians were calling in the Mounties, literally. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police showed up, and they have been writing tickets, at least seven of them last week. And those tickets carry a $1,200 fine. So the border is closed to non-essential travel. They will let you go to Alaska if you're going home, and you promise to go on a straight route, and you don't go anywhere else. But don't even think about it now until at least July 21st. And it could be extended.
You know, we are two separate countries. You have to respect borders.
Yeah, yeah.
We are not one country.
I haven't heard any problems in Mexico, but in Canada, folks are not taking kindly to seeing U.S. RVers and plates from U.S. states up there being tourists. So don't do it.
Two women who went off trail and damaged the delicate thermal zone at Yellowstone National Park were sentenced last week to jail time, ordered to pay fines, and banned from re-entering the park for 2 years. The women from Philadelphia damaged orange bacteria mats at Opal Pool in the Midway Geyser Basin, and they illegally decided to walk off trail.
Great.
These mats are made of heat-loving bacteria that give the thermal beds their color and are a primary attraction to the area. To see some pictures of the beauty of Yellowstone, we'll put a link to a special video we did on the beauty of Yellowstone on the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/300. Just go to the News of the Week section, and you'll see this story and our video link. Again, that's rvlifestyle.com/300. Wonder what's the matter with these folks.
Oh, you do.
They gave them a fine. They probably don't have any money, and they won't pay it anyway.
Well, they put them in jail, which is really good. That is such a beautiful area, and you
can't undo this damage.
No, you can't. And the folks up there call people who do that and get too close to animals, they call them tourons, tourist morons, tourons. And I'm telling you that's what those two women are. Unbelievable. No excuse for that. None.
I don't know how
none. Signs
everywhere. How you make people have common sense.
You don't. And too bad we don't have a common sense scanner. They could push that on your forehead like they do
for a temperature.
Nope, you're out of here.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Well, there is some good news out there because state campgrounds are starting to open around the country. They opened in Michigan, where we are right now, on Monday, June 22nd. And New Jersey now permits camping at 12 of its state parks or forests as well. But as we have been telling you now during the last couple of months, check what rules are in your destination before leaving. Some places permit tents, some don't. Some allow camping only for state residents. Some are open to everybody. Some require reservations. Some prohibit camping with friends and limit the number of people at a site and require those people to all be in the same household. It is all very confusing. Campendium, we've been telling you about them for a long time now. They have been reporting this right along, keeping track of what's open, what's not. They reported as we were preparing this report that at last count, only 9 state campground systems are closed or open only to state residents. So slowly, the number of closed state campgrounds are dropping. But if you're heading out, check ahead on the show notes for this episode, rvlifestyle.com/300. We've got a link to that compendium site, which is updated daily with what's open and what's not.
As more of us are camping and deciding whether to swim at a beach, hike a trail, or dine at a restaurant amid COVID-19, we thought it might be a good time to share a story that came out last weekend in the Washington Post that quoted a number of experts about outdoor activities. The story, as others we have seen, pointed out that camping remains a very low-risk activity, as the virus does not survive for long outside, and when camping in your RV, you are living in your own little house on wheels with your own family. The story also reviewed the risk of swimming in a lake or ocean, very low, using a public restroom, some risk, eating at a restaurant, even more risk, and more things that you might be interested in knowing. So we'll share a direct link to the story and on the News of the Week section of our show notes blog post as more of us head out and consider what level of activity is best. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/300.
There are so many new people out there. We drove from Florida up to Michigan. We took the northern route straight out of Jacksonville. We went through, let's see, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. We went through
Virginia,
West Virginia, Ohio, and then into Michigan. And when we did our crack docking, that's staying in a cracker barrel, I noticed we had two big towables behind us. One had temporary plates, meaning they just purchased it from the state of Florida. And the other one had temporary plates from Virginia. So brand new RVers, or at least brand new RVs that they were in, and we're seeing that everywhere. So we saw a lot of RV traffic up there. And as that story in the Washington Post says, you're in your own little house, you've got your own bathroom, it's really quite safe to be in your RV. And so when you get out.
And you get out of your home.
Yeah.
And you get to go see something.
You get to go see something. So it's coming back, but it's slow, slower than anybody expected. And, you know, it's become politicalized. We're going to see a lot of talk about it. But the good news for RVers is you can get out there. So there you go. All right, let's move on to our next section in the RV podcast.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Well, this came into us this week from two of our fellow travelers, Anne and Mark, and here's what they said. They said, we have followed you for a few years now and really enjoy the information and the forum you provide. Wanted to say that we hope your presentations at Lakeside Chautauqua happen, as we've reserved a site there so that we can attend and meet you. We are currently at Yellowstone, Anne's first time, and have enjoyed using your 7-day adventure guide. That's the ebook we wrote about Yellowstone. We have had an amazing time, and we're planning to hike your favorite hike tomorrow. This is from Anne and Mark. Do you remember that hike? That's our hike to Trout Lake.
Yeah. Wish we were with them.
Yeah, I do too. Just saying that, I picture that. It's a really great little hike, and it's not too hard for anybody, and it's just gorgeous, the stuff you see. Last time we saw a couple of moose there, this bear. Awesome. Oh, otters. We watched the otters. Those are fun. And that's all in that 7-day adventure guide. We have 8 of them. I don't know if you all know this. 7-day adventure guides. We kind of do these on different regions of the country. And we did one on Yellowstone. We've got them on all sorts of other regions. They're aimed at RVers who may not have, you know, a month to explore an area. And so we call them 7-day adventure guides, but they're, you know, you might want to drive between spots, but you can do it in a week if you really push. 10 days is better, but it lets you know where to go, what to see, where you can stay, saves you so much work, and we share our favorite things like that favorite hike at Yellowstone. And you can just go to rvlifestyle.com/books, and you can see if there's anything that interests you there, rvlifestyle.com/books. Now, they talked about Lakeside Chautauqua. And that is a place on Lake Erie that we visited. We have a video up on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. We visited it last year. It's a really neat little Chautauqua-type resort where there's lots of education and entertainment. And Jennifer loved the pool, that aquatic pool.
They have a beautiful pool there.
However, no big live entertainment events at their Hoover Auditorium.
Bummer.
Where they have, you know, name brand acts. None of those this summer because of COVID.
And I love that. That was the highlight of going there.
And we were going back this summer to do some lectures about traveling and all that stuff. And we were going to have an open tour, open house of our RV and a little social hour. Well, all of the lectures are right now scheduled to be on Zoom or online. And there are other restrictions there. The pool is by reservation only and only for 2-hour limits. So I'd say the situation is fluid, if you'd excuse me, as the staff tries to evaluate what to do there. So it's doubtful that we are going to be there the week of August 3rd through the 6th as scheduled. And frankly, doing a Zoom meeting is just not the same as interacting live and in person. So we're not really interested in doing that. And unless something dramatically changes soon, I just don't see us at Chautauqua this summer on Lake Erie. We will let you know if that changes. And we know some of you have booked campground reservations, but it is still too many restrictions for us to justify going there.
It just isn't the same when you can't all sit together and talk and visit. Bond and share food. And
all right, another question. This comes in from Tim. And Tim says, we went looking at Class C RVs. We're like 2 years out, but looking to buy something in the 25 to 30 foot range. I asked the salesman about boondocking, and he said most people with Class Cs camp at campsites and do not boondock. So is it possible to do any boondocking with the Class C? We watch a lot of YouTube of people camping in BLM land, Bureau of Land Management land, and such. I'm just wondering if that's too big. Not at all, Tim, especially with a 25-footer. That's not that big. 30-footer, you may have a little bit more challenges in finding really remote spots, but
I'm thinking about the bumpy roads.
Yeah,
going back in, it depends on. The
longer they are, the more tempting it
and
is.
And the wider, higher,
And they might bottom out if they're real long. So
right,
but lots and lots of Class C RVers boondock. We have a Class C, and ours is in the 25-foot range, and we have not had any problems with it. Tim asked this question on our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. And if you're not a member of that yet, you should go over there. Just search for RV Lifestyle Group on Facebook and join it. When he posted that, he got lots of suggestions. I'm just going to read a couple of them. Donna noted, quote, most boondocking places give you a good description of how the roads are getting to their spot. Read them, use common sense. Good advice. Jim was very blunt, saying that salesperson is an idiot, guessing he has never been in a camper. And Amy noted the 30 to 33 foot Class C's are a little scary off road because their back end is big and long. And I'm sorry, that's Andy, not Amy. Andy, the 30 to 30 foot Class C's are a little scary off road because their back end is big and long and hits the ground if your rear axle rolls into a low spot. And Ron very accurately suggests take a look at RV Lifestyle hosted by Mike Wendland and Jennifer. They have a C, leisure time travel, and they boondock with regularity. And indeed we do.
Yes.
Indeed we do. Hey.
Ours is referred to as a B+.
Yep, but it's technically a C.
I know it's a C, but it's not the huge. I've seen some Cs that are huge.
Let's do a blog post in the next week or two that goes into that. What is a C? What's a B+? What's a B? Because there's a lot of new people that don't know that, and we can kind of explain that. Hey, do you have a question that you'd like us to answer on the RV podcast?
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
And this part of the RV podcast is brought to you by Battle-Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Now, when we pick up our RV tomorrow in Holland, Michigan, our new Class C, known as a B+, though, because it's from Leisure Travel Vans, very sleek design. That's why they call it a B+. We have two Battle-Borns in it. We asked that option to be put in, and they did. Battle-Born and their lithium batteries have become the standard now for RVers who really want to get out there, want to have an upgraded energy management system that can really increase your time off the grid or boondocking. Lithium batteries, the technology is just amazing. They charge faster. They have better performance. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. They're maintenance free. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, the team of battery experts at BattlePorn are familiar with all the existing components, and they can help you out, whether it's a Class A, Class C, a B van, travel trailer, cab over camper. Don't worry, they're experts in that. All their BattlePorn batteries are protected by a 10-year guarantee, and they can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverter, charger, solar controller. Just go to them and tell them what you got. As I say, Jennifer and I have had them in our Unity, which we just sold, and we've got it installed in our brand new Wonder and the Ford Transit chassis, and we rely on lithium batteries for our boondocking adventures. So check them out. Just go to their website, which is we've got a special link to it. It's just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium, rvlifestyle.com/lithium. All right, time now for the interview of the week. And the interview of the week is with Jennifer and Mike.
Ta-da.
Actually, in honor of our 300th episode. Isn't that amazing?
Where's the cake?
Yeah, they did give us a cake for when we had 200.
Tom,
we were at
and Kathy.
Tom and Kathy McAuliffe, and that was at in North Carolina. Tom and Kathy, if you are listening by chance, I know you're regular listeners, fellow travelers. Thank you for that. That was so
that was
meaningful
very sweet.
For us. And all the people who are there, we had one of our gatherings there at up in the mountains in North Carolina. Did some rapid rafting and the whitewater rafting and some zip lining. And they surprised us because we were recording our 200th episode back then.
So how time flies.
How time flies. 100 weeks have gone by since then. And we don't have a cake for this one.
Nope.
I'm really bummed.
We're on a diet.
No, I'd eat a cake.
I have no doubt.
So anyway, we did this a long time ago, back when we were first starting. But in honor of our 300th episode and all the time that we have spent now in these many, many years doing this, this is our 9th year of traveling most of the time in our little RV, a little motorhome. Different vans, but 9 years. These top 10 rules that we're going to share with you all come in very handy. So we have we're gonna play back an excerpt of a video we did back in the early days, but they're all true, and we'll have a transcript of it. We'll list all 10 of them so you can look at it and share of it. But there are challenges when you're in an RV.
Just the two of you. It's a small space.
You bump into each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think that can be fun. Okay, that's what they now known as a pause, a deeply significant pause. She made no comment about that, but.
I get a little ugly when I've got my hands doing dishes or something. Maybe it's just me. Other people are probably better adjusted.
As they'll soon know, as we share our top 10 rules for RV couples trying to get along in a motorhome.
On a recent trip, Jennifer and I were doing some stuff, and, well, I forgot. We were in a motorhome until she said,
I need a little bit of space with you not in it.
I withdrew immediately. But the incident got me thinking. You see, there's really not a whole lot of room in there. So, to survive and enjoy the adventure, we've come up with our top 10 rules for getting along in a motorhome.
Rule number one, if you have problems getting along at home, don't expect it to be easier in a motorhome. Two people can share the same space, but the most important rule is mutual respect and don't try to do two different things in the same space.
Rule number two, don't overpack. You really don't need to have any more than, say, a 3-day supply of food or clothes. You can do laundry on the road, and you can buy food locally where it's the freshest.
Rule number three, everything has a place and a place for everything. Agree beforehand where you're going to store things. When done using, return them to that place and nowhere else.
Rule number four, if you travel with pets, assign them a space too. Dogs and cats love to know where they're supposed to be. Assign them their spot in the motorhome and train them to sleep there, not in front of the bathroom door where you'll trip on them in the middle of the night.
Rule number 5, as much as possible, plan ahead those meals. Grill outside, and if you dirty a dish or glass, clean it. Put it away right away after eating.
Don't overdrive. Going any more than 350, 400 miles in a day is going to tire you out. Remember, you're motorhoming because it's fun. Driving too far and too long makes everybody cranky.
Rule number 7, stay fit. Exercise, don't pack on those extra pounds. Take long walks, bring a bike, find and visit health clubs along the way. Too much sitting, like too much driving, isn't good for anyone.
Rule number 8, explore. Use Google or the internet or your GPS to find interesting spots in the towns and the places that you're passing. Visit a museum, learn the location's history. Try to eat at a locally owned restaurant instead of fast food places. Don't be in such a hurry all the time.
Rule number 9, be careful buying souvenirs. Your motorhome only has so much space. Ship the must-have things home instead of jamming every available storage spot with things that aren't essential for being on the road.
Rule number 10, this is the big one. When you're wrong, admit it. Conflict is inevitable. Jen, I'm sorry I invaded your space back there.
Don't hesitate to forgive. That's okay. You're forgiven.
Well, we hope this helps.
And I think that is timeless advice.
It is timeless advice.
After I listened to those, anything strike you as inaccurate or that we should amplify on? I think it's all right there. A couple of new things. Anything else we learned?
Well, the bad thing I'm doing now is packing too many things.
Yeah.
I'm taking way too many clothes.
But, you know, it's still less than we took when we first started.
Yeah.
But yeah, we both tend to do
When you have space, you tend to fill it.
And, you know, there's a solution to every one of those rules, and maybe we can do a separate video on that sometime. But, you know, like the space thing, we do laundromat on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those big Class A's, you have your own washer and dryer there. That's amazing. But so we try and do laundry once or twice a week, but it depends on where we are. But
and the people that have the Class A's, I've not heard anyone say they really like their washer and dryer, you know, that they work really great.
I don't know.
Excuse me. Somebody probably does, but
I've never had a conversation with them about washer and dryers. So
I guess that's because I'm at the laundromat.
Yeah, you're at the laundromat. And anyway, we hope that helps. There is a YouTube video that goes with that interview, and you can go and check that out. And you can look at the show notes for this episode, and we've got it all, a transcription of it all printed out. Maybe you want to just print it out and share it to somebody that you're trying to talk into the RV lifestyle, but we do hope that that helps. It was fun putting that together, and it's been fun. 9 years, we're still at it, you know?
Yeah, good Lord willing, we'll get 9 more.
Yep. The interview of the week brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com in Gainesville, Florida, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Amazing. They'll pull it right into your driveway. They did that even before the lockdown. Sunshine State RVs, they have the largest selection of new small motorhomes from the top brands like Winnebago Travato. That's the best-selling Class B in America. The Winnebago Era, Coachman, American Patriot, Fleetwood, IROC, many other brands. Brand new in stock. But if you're looking for a used RV, there's no doubt Sunshine State RVs has the largest selection of used small motorhomes anywhere in North America. So you can go there. Sunshine State RVs is in sunny Gainesville, Florida. But go to their website, sunshinestaterVs.com, and you can look at their inventory, used and new. They have everything in between from the most popular brands like Pleasureway, Winnebago, Leisure Travel from the current year to today. You won't find a wider selection anywhere else. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. They're all road tested. You check them out. Just tell the crew you heard about them on the RV podcast, sunshinestaterVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, time for our regular off-the-beaten-path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, to check in. And I wonder where they are this week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Imagine a warehouse full of barrels aging for several years to produce a rare and delicious delicacy. Bourbon, you might think, or wine, or maybe rum. But no, here the barrels are full of crushed peppers and are on their way to becoming Tabasco sauce. And if you look closely at the label, you'll see it says McElhinney Company, Avery Island, Louisiana. So they grow peppers on an island? Well, yes and no. The island is the highest point on the Gulf Coast, rising 163 feet above sea level. It has such remarkable elevation because it sits on a salt dome, and it's surrounded by swamps and marshes, so is geographically and culturally isolated. That isolation and the presence of salt help explain how it came to be a mecca for all things spicy.
Originally called Petite Anse Island, Little Cove in French, it can be accessed from Vermilion Bay by boat. Anyone who's a fan of mystery stories may well have read the Dave Robichaux books set on Bayou Teche in Iberia Parish, Louisiana, a slow-moving stream that is rich in southern lore and tradition. The oral history of the Chittimacha Nation tells of a great snake that once threatened the people. The tribe's bravest warriors did battle with the snake, which was miles long. In its death throes, it thrashed out the shape of the bayou. Geologists tell us it was one of the earliest courses of the Mississippi River. The bayou itself has an important role in the story we're telling.
Salt springs here have always attracted a variety of animals, and Native Americans began making regular visits nearly 5,000 years ago to boil down the island's briny spring water and extract salt, which they traded far and wide. It's been found in Texas and Ohio excavations, among others. The natives also hunted such tasty treats as mastodon, dire wolf, and giant sloth among the swamps and hummocks. There's no written record of whether these favorite barbecue items were enjoyed with a piquant sauce, but they were remarkably popular, as the bones of the animals have also been found over a wide area of the eastern USA. Animals figure prominently in island history, as we'll see in a bit.
Petite Anse was first developed as a sugar plantation by the Marsh family, so these were the marsh swamps. Daniel Avery married the Marsh's daughter and eventually bought the property from them. Sometime later, it was renamed Avery Island. The salt mine, pure rock salt, was first mined to provide the mineral to the Confederacy during the Civil War. During the war, the mine was protected by Southern troops. When their commander took them farther up the bayou on a raid, Union soldiers advanced from the Gulf and destroyed the mine's equipment and stockpiled salt and captured more than a ton of gunpowder. The mine went back into service after the war, and in 1980 was flooded when an oil drilling rig punctured the cavern and emptied millions of gallons of brackish water from the Gulf into what was once a small freshwater lake. Visitors can see historic salt mining artifacts on the Jungle Gardens tour.
Before the war, Edmund McElhinney married an Avery daughter and joined the family, bringing a number of changes to the island. Most of them began to bear fruit after the war ended, when he received a patent for his pepper processing system and built a small factory to produce the sauce that was first sold in New Orleans restaurants in 1868. In 1895, he created a sanctuary for rapidly disappearing snowy egrets, and a few years later helped to introduce the widely despised nutria to Louisiana waters. And wait, you say, what about Tabasco sauce? Well, those are stories for another episode, which you can hear from us next week, or first person if you choose to join us out here off the beaten path.
All right, that's... Tom and Betty Burkett. Now I want to know about the Tabasco sauce. And, you know, I've seen that for many times, Avery Island in Tabasco. I've never realized the history. Every place has a history, you know? All right. So you got to listen next week to hear the next episode of that. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Harvest Host. Just a quick word about Harvest Host. We talk about how hard it is sometimes to get into a commercial campground, and how many places around the country, like Walmarts, are making it harder to overnight there. Well, Harvest Host is a network of farms, wineries, museums, and attractions where RVers can stay overnight for free. You become a Harvest Host member, you can visit and stay at any more than 700 stunning locations completely free, and you can trade that boring, expensive $50 a night campground, if you can get in, for a unique experience, make lasting memories. We are members of Harvest Host, Jennifer and me. We've got a number of videos on it on our RV Lifestyle channel. We absolutely love it. We have stayed at farms and tourist attractions like a gator farm, an alpaca farm in New Mexico. We've been all over, from the east to the west. Love Harvest Host. First place we tend to stay is at a Harvest Host location. If you go to rvlifestyle.com/harvesthost, you can get the details. You'll get 15% off their normal rate. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/harvesthost. It'll be put in right for you. So there you go. Harvest Host. It's a great way to get off the beaten path and find a really fun place to stay.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast this week. I don't know where you are, what your plans are, but we hope to see you on the road. If you see us anywhere, honk the horn and give us a high five, or stop by and say hi at a campground or a boondocking location. New episodes of the podcast every Wednesday. We'd love to see you next week. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Have fun.